This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. If you want to join us, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, kicking off the second hour, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. Coming up, bye-bye Bitcoin. It's time to ban cryptocurrencies, at least according to an opinion contributor over at thehill.com. We'll share that with you because that's definite red meat here for Free Talk Live. We got to talk about a story with that title.
It is, and I can't wait to hear how this author imagines the governments of the world coming together to somehow ban cryptocurrency.
But you had a story, since we were talking briefly about COVID and Joe Biden and restrictions, you had a story about a guy who's a pastor at a church, I guess, in Tennessee, who's going a bit of a different direction.
I do. A Tennessee pastor threatened to boot mask wearers from his Tennessee church, as some places are taking additional measures to help protect against the more contagious coronavirus Delta variant. Mm. If they go through round two and you start showing up with all these masks and all this nonsense, I will ask you to leave,
wow.
Pastor Greg Locke told his Nashville area congregation during a service on Sunday. I will ask you to leave. I am not playing these Democrat games up in this church. Locke's comments at Global Vision Bible Church come as some U.S. communities reconsider face mask recommendations during the continued spread of the Delta variant. I haven't seen any of this.
Like an actual person come down with it, you mean?
Yeah. From what I can tell, the numbers aren't going up. I mean, I know they're reporting that they are, but have you seen it, listeners?
No.
Because I sure haven't.
I don't know anyone who's had it recently.
I had a runny nose today.
Okay.
But it's also, like, really smoky out.
It is. It's
in,
very.
In Keene.
But yeah, it's coming from Canada and the West.
So
they
claims the local newspaper, at least. Yeah, so wildfires.
Or fires. Did I say wildflowers?
Yeah. I noticed that today when I was driving home from somewhere. I was like, man, it's like hazy.
Yep.
Okay. Locke, in his sermon, criticized officials for eyeing potential restrictions. I ain't playing these stupid games, Locke said. Oh, God, I miss the South sometimes. I ain't playing these stupid games, Locke said in a video posted to Facebook on Sunday. A bunch of pastors talking about how much they want to see people heal and they're afraid to baptize people because of a Delta variant. I'm sick of it. You would think that they would just be like, baptizing people in the name of our deity is more important than the Delta variant, but evidently that's not the position that religious figures are taking.
Well, a lot of religious figures worship the state.
True.
You know, they believe that the state is actually part of God or, you know, somehow more powerful than God, or I don't know what they actually would say, but that's the way they act. And
it's weird to watch the interplay among them, right? Because they do serve two masters, and they don't seem to have any awareness of that reality.
Yet my mom always says, like, the Bible says that you're supposed to follow the laws of the land.
Oh, yeah, they all have their excuses for it, too. It's like, oh, well, render unto Caesar, Jesus said follow the law, or whatever, wherever, you know, what Bible passage it is that they use to justify that. And
there's always plenty to say the opposite as well.
Right, and then there's the Christian anarchists that are like, well, no, Jesus was against the government, that's why they killed him.
Right.
My mom also thinks that people who don't, like, follow laws and stuff have a spirit of rebellion.
Maybe
like
true.
A demon in them that makes them want to rebel.
Maybe that's the origin of all of this government as God thing, because, I mean, if you think about the Christian mythos, government killed God. So the Christian
and replaced it.
And they need something to worship. So if they believe in God and they worship God, then you sort of have to also worship the thing that killed God.
Sure.
Right? Locke, during his sermon, also vowed to keep his church open in Mount Juliet, east of Nashville. They will be serving Frosties in hell before we shut this place down, he said. Locke made similar comments earlier in the pandemic when he said in July 2020 that he was willing to go to jail before closing his church. At that time, a video showed maskless people listening to an in-person sermon as Tennessee health officials recommended faith groups hold their services remotely. We are staying open. You ain't got to wear a mask. We're not social distancing, Locke said. About 2 months later, hundreds of people reportedly defied mask mandates in Washington State when they gathered to hear Locke speak. Now, the article goes on a bit, but I want to call special attention to the fact that they don't point out that any of these 200 people contracted COVID-19. Because if any of them
had, they did, they sure would have.
They would have mentioned it. So clearly, none of them had reported cases.
The news loves, I've seen over the last couple days headlines about how, oh, so-and-so made fun of people with masks on or you know said he wouldn't wear a mask and now he's dead. There's all these headlines about that. Anytime somebody who was anti-mask or somebody who was a COVID skeptic dies, the media just blasts it out there.
Sure. And I got to say, I if COVID-19 kills me tomorrow, I won't have any regrets about how I responded to any of it.
No, me neither.
Me either. We had a super spreader event here, and I haven't heard of anybody getting sick.
You mean over the weekend? That one?
Is that when it was? I never know what day it is anymore. Oh, well, yeah.
There was Pork
the party.
Fest.
We had a
Pork
party
Fest
here, yeah.
And
no,
the party
Eden
here.
Fest. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, then we had quarantine back in January.
Yeah, and we've been hanging out every Friday night prior to that, and none of us got sick until certain events in March.
Until the feds came here with dozens of people pawing on all our equipment.
During,
that was a factor.
During the coronavirus pandemic, the CDC has urged people to wear face coverings inside public buildings if they haven't gotten a COVID-19 vaccine. Health officials are also encouraging people to get vaccinated against the disease to help stop them from getting seriously sick. So now it's not even about keeping you from getting COVID-19. It's about keeping you from getting seriously sick.
Right. Well, that's actually what they were saying earlier on was that, oh, the vaccine will just, it's not going to stop you from getting sick. It'll just stop you from having to go to the hospital.
Well, I didn't have to go to the hospital when I had it.
Most people don't.
So what is the value of this vaccine? Because every day on the Drudge Report, it's just the unvaccinated are making angry the vaccinated. The vaccinated are just seriously upset because the unvaccinated aren't doing their part. They're a threat to their communities or whatever. But their communities are the other unvaccinated, people who willingly made this choice not to get the vaccine. If your vaccine isn't protecting you, then why should I get it? Your vaccine should vaccinate you against this disease. Me not getting the vaccine shouldn't cause you any threat whatsoever.
Yeah, there's supposed to be about 50% of people who got the vaccine in the United States. It's even more in New Hampshire. And then you've got a factor in all the people who didn't get the vaccine because they've had COVID before, so they should have some type of immunity.
A better immunity.
That's
actually
what all of the research suggests now, yes. Not just better, but longer lasting.
Yeah.
But if, you know, that probably makes like at least 70% or more of us have some type of immunity, supposedly, if the vaccines give you an immunity.
Well, remember,
so it couldn't be the unvaccinated people's fault.
Most people who come down with COVID are completely asymptomatic.
Yeah.
Like it's not even worth, they just brush it off. It's no big deal. So, you know, how could you tell the difference between that and a vaccinated person not coming down with it? Like, you're most likely to not have any issues with this thing. So whether you have the vaccine or not, I mean, it's like, what is this thing that they're giving to people?
If it hadn't been for the loss of sense of smell and taste, I would have never known I had it. I was like, you know, I'm very tired and sore, but that's usual because I worked a lot of hours at that time. So sure. But that was the only real symptom I had that made me realize I had COVID-19.
So I've got a sort of a reverse story that I've actually had in my show prep for a while, but I've wanted to talk about this guy, Pastor Tim Stevens. This guy's out of Canada.
Oh.
Where, of course, as you know, they're not very nice when it comes to people who are refusing vaccinations and or refusing to be masked. And this story is actually from back in June. The pastor of Fairview Baptist Church was arrested for failing to comply with a court order to stop holding church services in violation of Alberta's pandemic gathering rules. Tim Stevens was arrested for allegedly violating Section 127 of the Criminal Code by failing to obey a Court of the Queen's Bench order obtained by Alberta Health Services. He was served a copy of the order last weekend. So, of course, if a judge says you got to do a thing and you don't do it, then they come after you with criminal charges. It's called criminal contempt here in the United States. Quote, he was arrested for hosting an illegal outdoor gathering that did not comply with current restrictions, said the police in an email to CBC News, correcting an earlier release where they said that he'd conducted a sermon inside the church. So he even was outside doing an outdoor sermon
And they arrested him. Sounds about right. Well, I mean, he disobeyed.
That's it.
That is
he didn't comply.
That is the ultimate heresy of the Church of the State.
Sure is. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Take control of the airwaves and bring up what you want. Is it bye-bye Bitcoin? Are they going to ban cryptocurrencies? That's on the way.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires. Which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and You can join us here if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian.
Bonnie.
And Aria.
We were telling you about a Canadian pastor who was arrested for holding an outdoor sermon. And apparently hunted by a helicopter at the time, according to a story. Yeah. Well, Jesus didn't help him out of this predicament, although he did get out a little earlier from prison than he initially had expected. I'll tell you a little bit more about the update on the case here, but Freedom's Phoenix is a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. If you want the newest and freshest stories and perspectives on current events from those who value liberty, then freedomsphoenix.com has it. Their daily dispatch is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. It's freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. That's freedomsphoenix.com. According to World News Group at WNG.org, Stevens was released after 2.5 weeks behind bars. According to this story, he had refused to sign a bail agreement, which required him to follow the health orders in place at the time. So when they first arrested him for this, they're like, all right, well, here you go. You know, you don't want to be in jail. Jail's a scary place, Pastor. Why don't you sign this bail agreement that says you'll do everything that we tell you to do as far as how you have to worship? And he said, nope, not going to sign that.
Good for him.
So they held him in there, and then on July 1st, which is apparently Canada Day, Alberta moved to the final stage of its reopening plan and then rescinded nearly all of the pandemic restrictions. Stevens then signed an agreement that he would observe the new health orders because none of the new orders would limit his church activity. So it's like, okay, fine. And then apparently they then let him out. According to...
But he still spent 2.5 weeks in jail for holding a church service.
For ministering.
Outside.
Yeah. The story from CBN.com, which is a Christian news network, they say here that he was jailed after police helicopter discovered where he was holding his church's outdoor worship services. It is speaking out about how his incarceration allowed him to minister to the inmates. So, like a lot of people, like our own nobody right now, who is, the Pope of the Church of the Invisible Hand, he's using his time behind bars. He's now been there for 4 months, by the way. You can write to him. Go to thecrypto6.com. You can get the jail address there. We're hoping he's going to get out soon after a fairly positive court hearing.
It was positive.
Last Friday, surprisingly positive. I thought he was done for because this judge had sort of tipped his hand earlier and said that he intended to keep nobody behind bars, but he was going to go ahead and have the hearing anyway just because he had to. And then he actually listened to the attorneys in the case, in this case nobody's attorneys, and he seemed to really genuinely give it some consideration what their arguments were. And so, I mean, it's not over yet. He hasn't made the order yet. He's waiting for the attorneys to file arguments in written
form.
And they
are required to do so before this coming Friday, before the end of the day this coming Friday.
Okay.
And prosecutors being what they are, they're probably going to deliver it Friday at 4:59.
Yeah, of course. And then we'll wait for the judge to review them, and then he'll likely issue an order the following week. So that's what's going on there. But again, you can write to nobody. But that's what nobody's doing. He's ministering to the guys that are behind bars. And that's what Tim Stevens found himself doing as well. He said that he was arrested when law enforcement officers showed up at his home as his onlooking children cried. According to the story here, he said, due to the COVID-19 restrictions, the cell in the remand center, I guess what they call jail, there in Alberta province, is very bare-boned, and prisoners are in their cells for 23.5 hours a day. So that's even more restrictive. I was in for 23 hours a day. I got an hour out. Apparently,
and you were in solitary, right?
Correct. And so was he. He says, you don't know when you're going to get out of your cell for that little bit of free time when you can make a phone call, when you can have a shower. It's very rudimentary. It's very difficult to try to get comfortable because you don't have a lot of necessities. You don't even have a pillow. You only have a few blankets and a very thin, hard mattress. And, yeah, I mean, that's jail.
Yeah.
And it sucks. He says it's a very dehumanizing experience. Basically, you're put into a small cage and you're left there not really knowing what the next coming hours or days or weeks may even bring. He says, when they understood why I was there, they didn't think it was right for me to be there. Speaking of the other inmates, they would call me pastor and open up about their own problems and want counsel and advice. Even inmates who were hardened atheists came to appreciate where I was coming from, and we developed a good friendship among those other inmates there in the jail. So even though you're in a 23-and-a-half-hour lockdown situation, you still do have the ability to at least connect somewhat with some of the other prisoners, because they're walking by your cell and they might stop and try to speak to you or whatever. Sure. So there are still some connections that you can make with people. So
now, does it say, was putting everyone in solitary just standard procedure for this jail, or did he do something that irritated the guards that led him in solitary?
Well, if it's anything like what the policies are here, at least at the jail that I was at for two-ish months, the policy was if you were moved anywhere as far as, like, outside of the jail. So if you went to a court hearing and are brought back to the jail, you would be in quarantine for 2 weeks.
Every single time?
Every time. So, of course, most of the court things are online, so that wasn't affecting a lot of people, because if they're online, they're still in the jail, so they haven't left the jail. But if you had to go to court, then you'd be back in quarantine for 2 weeks.
And maybe he wouldn't wear a mask.
That's a possibility. But he was only there for like two-ish weeks anyway. And as soon as you're booked into the jail, that's when your 2 weeks begins, because everybody who's booked in is gone into a 14-day quarantine. So that's just the policy at the jail.
That's an insane policy.
Well,
COVID-19. 2 weeks of isolation is inhumane.
But COVID.
It's torture.
But someone might get the cold.
Convention.
They might get the sniffles.
Don't torture someone over the cold.
That's what they're doing.
That's illegal. It's a violation of human rights.
It's legal now. You know, that's the
way
it is.
It's not legal. They're just doing it.
Well, it's only illegal if it gets found illegal in some sort of court case. And given how obedient these prisoners are, I don't think you're going to see anybody challenge it. I mean, I'd like to have to be wrong about that, but it's just not the case.
That's sad.
So, anyway, there's your update. He is now back out. And the Alberta province doesn't have the worst restrictions that they had, so now he can have his services. Oh, yeah, because it's going to get cold again.
Yes.
Right?
Well, I mean, it's not just that. They're telegraphing pretty hard that the lockdowns are coming back soon.
Now, what makes you say that?
Just the constant media fear-mongering about it. It's like, oh, they're considering bringing back the mask mandates here. They're considering relocking down here. That's what they did initially. That's what they did, you know, a year and a half ago. They're like, oh, are we going to have to lock down here? And then a few months later, yeah, everyone locked down.
And
the mask mandates.
They're also locked completely down in Australia where it's winter.
Where it is, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're telegraphing it, just like they did the whole, if you want to be free, if you want to take your mask off, you have to get the vaccine thing. They telegraphed that they were going to offer out these little perks for people to get the vaccine, and that's exactly what they did just a month or so later. So they're throwing out all of the information now. Anyone who's paying attention can see it coming. Yes, the lockdowns are coming. The mask mandates are coming all over again.
Vaccine passes as well.
Yes.
Which is, they're rolling them out over in the EU. So far, the United States hasn't seen them yet. But according to the news, again, telegraphing here, headline, New York City eyes French health pass vaccination policy. So they're openly talking about adopting that here in the United States, starting in, of course, the
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The U.S. combat mission in Iraq is coming to an end. President Biden making it official during a meeting with Iraq's prime minister at the White House.
The sacrifices that so many have made to build their U.S.-Iraq partnership has been real, and it's consequential. And my administration is committed to strengthening that partnership.
Biden saying remaining U.S. forces will be acting primarily in an advisory role and will be involved in counterterrorism efforts. The number of fully vaccinated Americans is approaching 50%. The CDC saying that number stands at just over 49% of the total population, which comes out to be 163 million Americans. People 12 and older are currently eligible for the vaccine to protect themselves against the virus. You're listening to USA Radio News. A civil rights pioneer who faced violence when registering black people to vote in the 1960s has passed away.
Bob Moses, a civil rights activist, died Sunday.
We, the people who have the responsibility to keep the Constitution as a live document.
Moses was 86. He played pivotal roles in voter registration drives and sit-ins during the 1960s. An educator, he taught school for several years in Tanzania, Africa. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
The numbers are piling up as Chicago is coming off another violent weekend. Police say at least 73 people were shot and 11 victims died in the city between Friday night and early this morning. In one shooting, a 15-year-old girl and 17-year-old were wounded by gunfire in the backyard of a home. The older teen was taken to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. The other victim is in serious condition. This is USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. The phones are open here if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Bonnie, and Aria in the studio. And, of course, you can join us again. Go online over at freetalklive.com. You can follow us on our social media platform and post to that platform. It's called social.freetalklive.com. And unlike the big tech platforms like Facebook and Twitter, you get a lot more freedom to express yourself on social.freetalklive.com. So head on over there.
And we're not fans of kicking people off.
No, you don't have to be a libertarian to post over there. But so far, that's been pretty much who's been signing up. But check it out at social.freetalklive.com. As we get into changing things up, because there's, of course, as always, a ton of COVID-related news out there, but there's also some really interesting crypto-related news. I always love it when people don't know anything at all about Bitcoin and act like they can do something about it. In this case, Robert Manning, the opinion contributor at TheHill.com. Now, what is TheHill.com? It's a fairly newsworthy website that, is based, I presume, out of Washington, D.C. They report on politics and political matters. And
aren't they leftist?
Sort of, I don't know. They're certainly statist, whoever they are. But this guy, he's got a headline, "Bye-bye Bitcoin, it's time to ban cryptocurrencies." Here's what he has to say. And, of course, great first opening sentence. "I've never quite understood why cryptocurrencies are worth anything."
That's apparent, dude.
Yeah.
From the headline.
Of course, the untraceable payments that's not true, are worth a lot to ransomware hackers, cyber criminals, and money launderers. But
also not true. They prefer privacy coins.
Well, he says the untraceable payments are worth a lot to ransomware hackers. Privacy coins would be untraceable.
But Bitcoin is not a privacy coin, and it's not untraceable.
Correct. Now, he is saying that cryptocurrency should be banned, not just Bitcoin.
Okay, yeah. Fair point.
But, you know, he's suggesting here that untraceable payments apply to all cryptocurrency, and that's not true. It's the supermajority of cryptocurrencies are completely traceable. They're fully public blockchains. Anybody can look and see. If you know an address of a cryptocurrency wallet, you can look at that wallet, see what its current balance is, see to where it has sent crypto, like bitcoins, and from whom it has received the bitcoins. And that's 99% or 98.9% or whatever. There's only a handful of cryptocurrencies that are actual privacy coins that don't have this.
I imagine it's probably something like 99.999%.
Probably true.
Are using, you know, public ledgers.
But dollars, euros, and yen are backed by nations' respective treasuries. Huh? No, not even close. They're not backed by anything.
Everyone just respects the U.S. Treasury so much.
They're not going to give you anything. I mean, our friends Mr. Bitcoin and Bitcoin Gandhi were down at the Federal Reserve building today. And let me tell you, you can walk in there with a stack of cash and ask for the backing. And they're going to look at you cross-eyed. They'll be like, what are you talking about? Get out of here, you lunatic. We're calling security.
Yeah, because there's nothing backing it but the faith and trust in the government that produced it. It's not backed by the Treasury because the Treasury doesn't have anything to use to back it.
Right, and when people say it's backed by the faith and trust, what the hell does that even mean? That's nothing.
It's backed by hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
It's nothing.
What gets me is that so many people today insist and still believe that the U.S. dollar is backed by gold.
Do they really?
I know many people, especially outside of libertarian circles, who firmly believe that, you know, it's backed by gold.
I mean, they did actually have silver certificates at one time.
Once upon a time.
Which were before the Federal Reserve notes. They looked kind of similar. You can find pictures of them online. If you're really lucky and you work at like a retail establishment and enough dollars pass through your hands, you might just get one of these things. Like if somebody accidentally has one and they don't realize that they have a collector's item from the 1930s or whatever and they spend it.
I've never, ever seen one of those, but I did get a Canadian penny the other day for a penny.
Yeah, also not worth anything, I suspect.
One of my favorite things about my old job was, in fact, looking for coins produced before 1964.
Why?
Because they actually had silver in them.
That's right.
They were actually made out of silver. Never found any.
90%, I believe, silver.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know what purity rate, but it's actual silver, right?
That's right, it is.
And they look different. They
sound different, too. Like if you flip the coin, like, you know, up in the air over and over and over, it sounds, you can hear it. It sounds like more... Real.
I never did that, but, you know, the look of them is so different than if you see one, you immediately know that's what it is.
Yeah. If someone invents a cryptocurrency, he says, any value is based solely on convincing others it has value.
Yes.
Well, yes, but there's a reason why you can convince others. And this goes back to him in his first sentence where he says, I've never quite understood why cryptocurrencies are worth anything. And the reason why you can convince people these things have value is because they're mathematically sound.
They do stuff.
They do the thing that they promised that they will do, which is to say transferring value from one person to another person and cutting out the intermediaries, meaning cutting out the banks and cutting out the governments.
And some of them even do more than that.
That's true. Blockchain can do a whole lot more than just money. But they do what they say they're going to do. And there's
value in that.
Yeah, and any time you can take a business, you know, deal and cut the middleman out, I mean, that's what everybody in business wants to do, right? Like, if there's a middleman between you and the wholesaler, you want to get rid of that, you know, or the manufacturer. You want to get rid of that middleman. If you can get rid of the middleman, he might have been the nicest middleman you've ever dealt with.
But he was still getting a cut.
But he's still just moving a thing between his hands and passing it on to you. He doesn't need to be there. The banks don't need to be there either.
No, and they're just the middlemen.
The governments don't need to be there either. These are the people who forever have created and passed off money as though it's valuable, when, of course, it's just backed by faith in the governments. And
now
they're
gone. I would argue that cryptocurrencies, in fact, have more there's more value inherent in cryptocurrencies than there is in, you know, government dollars.
Oh, absolutely.
Simply because, you know, cryptocurrency, it's something that someone opts to use as their currency.
Where sure, it's a choice.
The fiat currency is, this is what the government says is your money, whether you like it or not.
Oh, you definitely can't sell your oil for anything else.
Not yet. That's true. The U.S. Government has a very strong position for its fiat currency all around the world, but that may start to change over time.
Oh, no. Biden promised us inflation is going to get better.
So he says...
He also says something about the man in the moon, but he also said aliens. Inflation is going to get better.
But is it a usable means of exchange? Well, actually, yes, it is. Here in Keene, New Hampshire, prior to my arrest in March, I used it all the time.
As did I. I miss it, man.
Yeah, and from what I understand, it can still be used here in Keene, New Hampshire because, well, the crypto marketplace here is much larger than Ian and Aria. So even though we're out of it because, well, we're under ridiculous restrictive court orders to stop using cryptocurrencies, so therefore I can't even go to my favorite restaurants anymore, you know, even if I could leave the house. But, you know, there's still people out there who do. There's still people regularly going to these places that accept cryptocurrency at the point of sale, and they're buying things with it. And the people who are running these restaurants and the dentist and the car repair place and these other places that take cryptocurrency are still holding on to it. And some of them are cashing it out on occasion, but for the most part, most of them are holding it because, you know what? They think it might be worth more someday.
Well, it for sure is. The car repair place here, like a year ago, I had to get some work done on one of my cars, and mm-hmm. it cost like $800 in total or something like that. So I just set some BTC, and that amount of BTC right now is worth significantly more than $800. It'd be closer to $3,000 or something like that.
I expect that the guy that owns that car repair shop is probably doing better than almost everyone else, except for maybe Corner News. Like, as far as just because
his transactions tend to be large.
His transactions are large, but he has had to, you know, cash some out to, like, buy parts or whatever. But just overall, I think he's held on to a lot of that stuff, and I suspect he's very happy.
That's good.
With that. But yes, it is a usable means of exchange. Although, to be fair, a lot of people within the Bitcoin universe don't even know. I mean, they've never spent Bitcoin.
Yeah, they wouldn't know how to if they needed to.
They just think it's this thing that goes up in price over time. And it does tend to do that, but it's so much more useful than just hold it and see if it goes up in value. But nonetheless, this guy is going to get into why he thinks it should be banned on the way. Because not only does he not understand it, he wants to stop the things he doesn't understand.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com. Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death.
At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. Remember, if you want to join in here, you can bring up anything you want. 603-283-6160. Maybe you agree with this guy at thehill.com who says that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies should be banned. Can they even be banned?
That would be an amazing feat.
Well,
if this person wants them to be banned, I suspect in order for them to accurately convey that idea to people, they should have some methodology by which they believe cryptocurrencies could be banned.
Well, let's get into it here. And by the way, with you tonight, it's Ian,
Bonnie,
and Aria.
And don't forget, you can join us online anytime you want. Head over to freetalklive.com. We've got the AMP program, which allows listeners like you to become supporters of the show, become amplifiers, which stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And you can do it for $5 a month, like Meast 101, who is a Free Talk Live silver amplifier. Meast 101 contributing that $5 a month. You can do it either via PayPal, debit card, or credit card right there through amp.freetalklive.com and get some cool perks. That's ampamp.freetalklive.com. So Robert Manning, the opinion contributor over at thehill.com, doesn't understand why cryptocurrencies are worth anything. That's the first sentence in his article here, where he's going to advocate for the banning of these cryptos, which, by the way, right now, according to CoinMarketCap.com, has a global market cap, which is the total value in denominated in dollars of all of the world's cryptocurrencies, or at least 11,064 of them, is now 1.4 and change trillion dollars.
Wow.
In value.
That's amazing.
It's tremendous.
And this person wants to basically ban $1.4 trillion in value.
Well, he doesn't understand how the governments will do it, but he wants them to.
Yeah, and, you know, when we were going out, you characterized this in the best, most accurate way possible. I don't understand this thing. The government should ban it.
Well, plus, I don't understand this thing, and scary things can happen. People could get hurt.
But that's not even the case. And both the Department of Justice and, I believe, the FBI have admitted that the vast majority of cryptocurrency transactions are totally white market.
Well, he says there's an epidemic of hugely disruptive ransomware attacks in the recent months on JBS Foods, a major meat processor, Colonial Pipelines, our critical infrastructure.
This is not a problem government can fix. This is a problem IT companies can fix.
By actually having backups of their companies.
It's a 100% foolproof way of defeating ransomware. Have offline backups daily.
Causing gasoline shortages for weeks and on 1,000 or more U.S. businesses on July 4th highlights the enormous risks. Moreover, hundreds of small towns, hospitals, school districts, and small businesses have been hit by the ransomware epidemic, all enabled by cryptocurrencies.
No, ransomware I'm pretty sure existed before cryptocurrency.
I bet you it wasn't as large.
But it existed.
Because then they would have to have, like, a bank account or something and, you know, international bank account in North Korea or somewhere where they could...
Well, how did they do, like, the Egyptian prince scam before cryptocurrencies? I mean...
International bank accounts would make it harder to recall a wire transfer, from what I understand, but it's not impossible.
Well, there's also prepaid debit cards and all this sort of nonsense.
That's true.
Target gift cards.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they definitely could have done these things, but it was... I mean, I'll give the point to him. Cryptocurrencies have made ransomware a much easier process.
Yes.
It can be fully automated. You know, you pay the ransom to the respected address that they give you when the ransomware hits your computer. They can verify that the funds are there. Of course, most cryptocurrencies are irreversible, so there's no chance that the victim is going to be able to, you know, reverse those funds. So it definitely, you know, I'll give that to them.
Sure, but it's still an easy-to-solve problem.
Yes, correct. And it should not mean that those, as you pointed out, 99.9% of legitimate transactions out there need to go away or become criminal. Because it's already criminal to hack somebody's computer.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's already a criminal act. How should governments respond, he says? Besieged with cyber attacks, the Biden administration has been struggling with this question of cybersecurity with few clear answers.
Well, if they can't get their own cybersecurity under control, then they have no business trying to regulate or stop or ban cryptocurrency.
Cyber offense still seems to beat cyber defense. As the eminent economic analyst Martin Wolf outlined in a recent Financial Times essay, the risks and chaos of a wild world of unstable private money is a libertarian fantasy. According to a recent Federal Reserve paper, there are already some 8,000 cryptocurrencies. It's a new mom-and-pop cottage industry. How should governments respond? Wolf argues that central banks, like the Federal Reserve, should create their own official digital currencies called central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, and make cryptocurrencies illegal.
Look, these CBDCs, they would certainly be popular among the masses, but if you have this new technology developing, and there's already 8,000 different versions of this technology out there, you are so far beyond the point of being able to ban it that you're wasting your time to even attempt it.
Why would anybody think, oh, there's too much competition, there's 11,000.
Well, there's now more than 11,000.
There's 11,000 different things, and he just described the fact that they're, well, you were actually describing the fact that they're very, you know, good at what they do. You were describing, oh, well, they made ransomware easier. That also means that they made, you know, buying something in another country easier, sending money to your family in another country easier. So he thinks that they should just get rid of all of that and have the governments make one. Why would anybody think that's the answer? It doesn't make any sense.
Because he trusts the government.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know who this guy works for.
But I
suspect it's the banks or the government. Look, here's his bio. He is a senior fellow at the Brent Sawcroft Center for Strategy and Security at the Atlantic Council. He was a senior counselor to the Undersecretary of State for Global Affairs from 2001 to 2004, a member of the U.S. Department of State Policy Planning Staff from 2004 to 2008, and on the National Intelligence Council Strategic Futures Group from 2008 to 2012. So, basically, he's been working for government for his entire, you know, professional career.
Yeah, I will excuse the prior to 2010 ignorance of Bitcoin, but if you're working in the government and I can't even begin to rattle off what you said his most recent stunt in government was, it's something about global intelligence. I don't remember, but he should have known about Bitcoin. This person has all of the right qualifications to have known about Bitcoin earlier than anyone else and to be an expert on the subject. And yet, he's completely ignorant.
Go ahead.
Well, it said his current role had the word security in it, so he doesn't know how. He doesn't know that companies should just back up their.
It's such a simple solution.
It is, and there's software called, we used Mozy Pro, and it will do it automatically. You can set it to, anytime it detects a file change, it will automatically update that.
Yep.
And it's just continuous, and if they get hacked, you don't even have to go there. All you have, you can do it all from, you know,
just download the program,
the website.
Put your password in, and restore.
And how old,
restore
is,
these?
How old is that technology you're talking about?
5, 6, 7 years?
Even older. Well, I mean, we've had backups here for longer than a decade, I think.
Okay. These allow you to manage entire corporate networks with thousands of computers and restore all of them at once.
That's amazing.
With a single click. And companies are like, oh, God.
What are we doing?
We got hit with ransomware. How do we unhack it? And that's always the first question these companies have. Can we decrypt it? Can we just find some tool on the internet that will decrypt it? Like, dude, no.
That's not how encryption works. I've been asking the same question, he says. Who needs cryptocurrencies? Apart from the nasty uses and wild speculative value swings.
A free world needs cryptocurrencies.
Data mining to produce Bitcoin is a serious environmental hazard, using huge amounts of electricity by rows and rows of computers.
Unlike the bank or the government, banks or the government.
Then pick a proof-of-stake coin. This guy probably doesn't know what proof of stake is, but there are alternatives to proof of work.
Yeah, there are cryptocurrencies out there that are selling themselves about how, you know, environmentally friendly they are. So you just throw that one out. But beyond that, the whole point about the environment is total bunk anyway, because the amount of the electricity used by Bitcoin is much lower than that used by banks.
Or by the government to, you know, destroy the world.
Yeah. But he doesn't understand. Who needs cryptocurrencies? All he hears about is the negative sides. Oh, the drug dealers. Oh, the ransomware. Oh, all this bad stuff out there. But as you pointed out, Arya, a ton of the transactions, the supermajority, like the vast supermajority, are completely legitimate transactions between, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of people around the world are using these cryptocurrencies, but a bunch of them are, and it's not all about money. As Bonnie touched on earlier, some of these things do completely different things. They do online computing tasks, online storage tasks, online video retrieval.
Well, no one, as far as I'm aware, we're probably the only media organization talking about how, you know, a year ago someone went into this store and they got their car repaired and they paid in cryptocurrency.
That's right.
MSNBC isn't writing an article about that.
603-283-6160. Hour number 3 is on the way. More from this ignorant bastard. It is Free Talk Live. And you, of course, can share your thoughts with us. Maybe you agree with them. Lay it out for us. This is Free Talk Live.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
look for the white box with the blue star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast, or your money back.